Is this the Owens residence? I'm Mr. Belvedere.
Happy Saturday night, everybody. This is Angela Bowen, the host of Tea Time with Mr. Belvedere, a Mr. Belvedere podcast. This is the last episode for Marcia for season 3. Season 3, episode 19, entitled Baby, which aired on March 6th, 1987. This episode had a 7.8 out of 10 rating. That's not too bad. Director Noam Pitzlick, writers Frank Dugan, Jeff Stein, Gwen Davenport, and Lisa Albert. When Marcia has a pregnancy scare, Wesley overhears her complaining about how his birth ruined her plans for college. Sure they did, Marcia. Sure they did. Just like I'm sure Heather's also ruined your plans for college. Or was she a planned pregnancy? Because apparently Wesley was not. So is it in my mind that they just wanted to have, you know, two kids, a son and daughter, and then that way she could go on to go to college and everything? Like she said, once they were in school, she could, you know, Kevin and Heather, she probably had to wait, like, what, 10 years, 6 years for them to be old enough, you know, go to school and all that, and then she could start going to school. But then she got knocked up with Wesley, like, well, you know what? You could have done two things. You could have had your tubes tied, unless they thought about having more kids. I don't know if they're religious. Maybe they're against that. Or you could have used condoms, birth control, which, again, I don't know what their religious stature is, if they believe in that or not, or I don't know. Because we know if anything was going to be done to prevent future pregnancies, she would have gotten her tubes tied. No way was George going to get a vasectomy. No. All right, let's waste no time getting into this episode. So we jump into the cold open where Wesley's making something and Belvedere comes into the kitchen and asks, "What are you doing?" Wesley's like, "Oh, I'm making you a waffle. Well, since I broke the waffle iron, I had to use Dad's golf shoe, so this supposed waffle is going to have, like, grass and dirt in it." He's basically using the cleat or the golf shoe to be able to put the indentations in the waffle. Like, Wes, just no, buddy. Just, that's nasty. Throw it away. I'm sure you had good intentions, but just no. So even Belvedere takes the golf cleat off the plate and the supposed waffle. And he says, "Thank you, Wesley. That's very nice of you. However, I would have removed the grass and the mud first." And then Wesley's like, "Oh, well, I just happened to make you fresh orange juice. I picked out the seeds myself with my fingers." And at that, Wesley is rubbing his nose with his hand, the back of his hand, you know what? You have that, bud. You have that orange juice. Enjoy it. Because he's not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. I want to play this clip because, like I said, I've said on the podcast, I love their scenes together so much. They're my favorite two people on the show.
Genius, Wesley. However, I might have removed the grass and mud first.
Well, anyway, I made you some fresh squeezed orange juice, and I even picked out the seeds with my own fingers.
How thoughtful.
So do I get to go to England with you?
No.
But I want to be there when the Queen hits you with a sword and makes you an OBGYN.
Wesley, she's not making me a gynecologist. She's giving me the OBE, the Order of the British Empire, for services rendered.
And nobody renders them better than you. So can I go?
As I've already told your brother and sister, I shall decide who goes based on my own criteria, not on transparent attempts at buttering me up. Good morrow, my liege.
Your Majesty. George, have you seen my civil law briefs?
No, but I've seen your cute little pink ones.
Great. Maybe I'll just hand those in.
Uh-oh.
Want some syrup on your waffle?
How about some weed killer?
Well, I think you should take me, Mr. Belvedere. Then you'll have someone to dance with at the Royal Ball. Forget it, Heather. No dogs allowed. Maybe they'll let you chase the foxes.
Listen, both of you, this is how it will be decided. Each of you will write an essay in 50 words or less on why I want to go to England. The entries will be due this afternoon, and the decision of the judge, that's me, will be final. Any questions?
Can you enter as often as you like?
Forgot, gang. Mob alert.
Coffee, Mrs. Owens?
No, I don't have time. I was too busy trying to scrape this candy bar off my assignment.
Oh. I wondered where it was.
I'll be a little late. I've got something to do. Leslie, can't you ever hang this upright? Please. Sorry.
Mom's in a good mood.
Yeah, she's been like this all week. She's even been jumping all over me, and I'm her favorite.
I don't know, guys. Maybe it's school or something.
Yes? Yes, all right. I'll give her the message.
Who was that?
Dr. Benjamin. Confirming Mrs. Owen's appointment for this afternoon.
Dr. Benjamin?
Who's he?
You guys ought to know him. He delivered all three of you.
What's Mom need a baby doctor for?
Don't look at me.
Well, I pretty much played the whole intro because there's two main storylines going on, which is... The main one is going to be Marcia dealing with a possible pregnancy scare. And, of course, the other one, which you heard, is the kids all want to be the one that Mr. Belvedere picks to take when he goes to England to be knighted or into knighthood or into servitude. Or kind of like, what, Elton John, and there's some others like, is it Dame Maggie Smith and Sir Elton John, and there's some, some other people I thought also. So maybe, is that what he's, I think he's going for? The Queen's gonna do that. And I thought it was funny how Wesley's like, I want to be there when she makes you an OBGYN. And Belvedere's like, she's not making me a gynecologist. Let me go back. So I thought it was a waffle, but of course, I totally forgot Wesley broke the waffle iron. So that's why he's using the golf shoe to make little holes in the pancake like a waffle, you know, sucks up all the butter and syrup and everything in those little holes. Or grid marks or whatever you want to call them on a waffle. Okay, it's the OBE. Order of the British Empire. I wanted to make sure that was correct. Oh, for services rendered. So that's got to be completely different from, like, what Elton John got and Maggie Smith and some of the... isn't Helen Mirren another one? I thought that also... but then again, Belvedere did serve the royal family, so that's got to be something completely different, I'm sure. Aside from this, Marcia's kind of in a pissy-ass mood. Normally, probably, George would probably say, oh, she's on her period or something, that's why. But apparently she's been like that all week. She's like, I can't find my disc for school. And then, as she's heading out the door, she's bitching to Wesley, can't you hang this coat up right? Which, it's on the hook. What is it, inside out? I really just go to school. Get the hell out of the house, Marcia, because no one wants to hear your crap. And everyone's just like, she's been like that for a week. What is her problem? And George is like, well, maybe it's just school stuff. It's like, really? I don't think that's it. The phone rings. Turns out it's Dr. Benjamin. And confirming Marcia's appointment, which George had nothing. He had no idea that was going on. And then when they say, well... Who's Dr. Benjamin? And then George is like, oh, you kids should know. He delivered all three of you. How would they know who he is unless he's their primary doctor? I don't know the doctor that delivered me in the hospital. I have no idea what his name is. He's probably dead of old age by now. I don't know. I'm sure he's more than likely retired, but I don't know him. And Wesley, of course, asking the obvious question, well, why does Mom need a baby doctor? And everybody looks at George, like, and George has got the, whoops. Now, as far as who Mr. Belvedere is going to bring to England, because the kids are all like, after Wesley made him that disgusting grass and dirt pancake, Heather and Kevin come in the room, and they're all like, oh, good morning, sir, and all of this, and they also want to go to, because I guess he's, Belvedere's got a plus one on this trip, so the kids are all arguing. Wesley makes a joke about Heather, like, no dogs allowed, Heather. Belvedere finally says, you know what, kids? How about we do this? You all write up a letter about 50 words or less why you think you should go to England with me. And then we'll be due this afternoon. And then I will go over and decide who is the best person to go. Which, we'll never hear about this trip. Well, I'm pretty sure we're going to find out who gets to go. So that is the big question, basically, is what's up with Marcia? Could she possibly be pregnant? And how funny that she's already out the door and boom, there's the phone. She missed it by like 5 seconds. If she had picked up the phone first before she left, none of them would have been the wiser. So we come out of the intro and the kids are all kind of hanging out in the living room. Wesley's at the door actually waiting for Marcia to get back from school or to get back from the appointment. And she's like, he's like, oh gosh, I can't wait till Mom has the baby. This is better than getting a dog. See, we get the dog thing again. You know what sucks? Spoiler alert. Season 5, Wes gets that dog and he couldn't give a shit less. He does not, like, oh, son, I finally got you the dog you've been wanting for the last 4 years. Oh, great. Yeah, I don't really like dogs anymore. What? What? But we'll get there, guys. We'll get there in September when I get to that. I think it's September. I mean, I think it's in season 5. But anyway, Kevin's like, come on, Wes. You don't know what it's like. Because Kevin's the oldest. He's been through it twice now with Heather and Wesley. But then again, I think Kevin and Heather's age difference is only, what, maybe 1 or 2? I think maybe 2 years? I really don't think it's 3. Because she was like 14 and he was 16, so there's like maybe a 2-year age difference. But there's a significant age difference between Heather and Wesley. There's got to be at least a 5-year age difference. 5-6-year age difference. So yeah, Wesley was not a planned pregnancy, which we will learn. Yeah, Kevin finally tells Wesley, like, hey, will you like take a chill pill? Like, tone it down. Because we don't even know if she's actually pregnant or not. And now Heather's going to have to say something. But I want to play this clip of the kids kind of talking about the idea of Mom might have another baby. Oh yeah, we're going to get to something. When we get to season 6, Marcia completely flip-flops when a baby just magically drops in her lap. It's like, but we didn't think you wanted to have a baby. You made that perfectly clear with Wesley.
I don't see Mom yet.
Come on, Wes.
Boy, I can't wait till she has the baby. It'll almost be better than getting a dog.
Would you relax? We don't even know for sure if she's pregnant.
Yeah, but you know what it means if she is? They still...
Do what? Mom back yet?
Not yet. I got first dibs on listening to her stomach.
Look, Wes, your mom doesn't know we know anything, so let's just let her tell us in her own way.
Hey, she's here!
Okay, everybody, just act natural.
Hi, everybody.
Hi!
Yeah, hi.
So, how was school today, Marsh?
Fine.
Belvedere picked some coffee. Want a cup?
Not now. How about some pickles and ice cream?
Wes. Dr. Benjamin called after you left this morning.
Oh. Look, I didn't want to say anything until I knew one way or the other.
So are you going to have a baby?
I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow.
Oh, look, honey, either way, I'm thrilled.
Thanks. Well, I'm going to go upstairs and lie down.
Yeah, you go rest up. I'll be up in a while. Or not.
I love Heather's response when she's kind of sitting there. She's like, if she is, you know what that means, don't you? And Kevin's like, what? She's like, it means they still do it. As in, they still have sex. Of course, Kevin's like, do what? Like, come on, Kevin, you know. Come on, Kev. So that's when George comes in the living room, says, hey, is your mom here yet? And they're like, oh, no, not yet. And then Wesley's all like, oh, I get to be first to hear her belly. You know, to hear, like, or to feel the her belly or whatever. And George is like, buddy, she doesn't know that we know. So we need to, like, keep it on the DL here. Marcia, so Wesley's like, oh, she's coming up the walkway. And George is like, all right, everyone, just act natural. You're all in the same spot. You're all, like, in the same area. You don't think she's not going to be a little suspicious? She comes in, hangs up her coat on the coat rack. And she's just like, oh, hi, everybody. And so George just tried to keep it cash, you know, like, hey, how's school? And she's like, oh, it was good. And he's like, well, Belvedere, make coffee if you want some. And she's like, no. Wesley has to be like, do you want pickles and ice cream? Like, those cravings? And George is like, Wes, seriously? And that's when George is like, well, Dr. Benjamin called, and, you know, everyone's like, oh, are you going to have another baby? And Marcia's like, I won't know until tomorrow. So my guess is she must have taken a pregnancy test before she made the appointment to go to the doctor. Because you just don't go, I could be pregnant. I'm not going to take a pregnancy test, but I'll make a doctor's appointment. No, you would take a test first. So odds are she could have had a positive reading and just wanted to double check. For all she know, you know, she could be stressed about school and, you know, maybe that, like, caused the pregnancy test to be, like, screwed up or something. So she says, you know, I'm going to go lay down for a bit. And George is like, oh, I'll be up there in a little while. And the look she gives him is like, do not come upstairs after me. I don't want you anywhere near me. It's your fault I'm in this mess. So now we get to Belvedere's room, and he is dressed to the nines in his appropriate English garb for, he's basically just, you know, practicing what he's going to do, what he's going to say when he, you know, meets the queen again and is properly awarded his honorary service award. Belvedere is looking nice. I love the, it's like, he's got a tux, you know, suit. He's got this kind of silver vest, and then he's got a really nice striped tie. It's black stripes, kind of silver and gray stripes. It really complements the outfit so nicely. He picked good. But then again, Belvedere is a snazzy dresser when he wants to be. Alright, so I guess George is gonna kind of talk to Belvedere about what's been going with Marcia and the fact that she could be pregnant and what that would mean for Mr. Belvedere and everything. And he kind of, you know, lets Belvedere know about how we both had agreed to stop after Wesley. And then, you know, basically this happened. And he's not looking forward to a baby in the house and everything that comes with it. The feedings, the diapers, the crying, the this, the that. It's like, if you planned on stopping, as in, stopping what? Clearly you're not stopping having sex. Stopping trying to have, we know Wesley was not planned. So they could, there are so many preventative measures they could have taken to make sure that this didn't happen. So I'm going to play this clip.
Getting ready for the prom?
Hello, George.
Pretty excited about your trip, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So, what's this little doohickey the Queen's given you?
This little doohickey is the Order of the British Empire.
What empire? Decided on who you're taking?
Not yet.
How about me? I wouldn't mind leaving the country.
Already hearing the patter of little feet?
Well, it's sort of caught me off guard. I mean, Marcia and I pretty much agreed to stop after having Wesley.
That certainly would have stopped me.
The thing is, Belvedere, I'm not getting any younger. I mean, I'll start off feeding him baby food. By the time he gets to college, he'll be feeding it to me.
Calm down, George.
I mean, with Marcia going to law school, there's going to be a lot of stuff she won't have time to do. Making bottles, changing diapers, toilet training. Somebody's got to do it. Sure glad you're here, big guy.
I love how George calls what Belvedere's going to be awarded this little doohickey. That's just George. He's just like that. He doesn't take anything seriously when it comes to Mr. Belvedere. He doesn't respect anything about him when it comes to England and this and that. You're always putting him down. But then again, it's George, so. And then he's like, well, I'd like to go with you. You know, that way I can kind of get out of here and not have to deal with another baby and all that stuff. And then he's saying about, by the time this kid graduates from college, he's going to be feeding me baby food. Well, no, you'll probably be dead by then. Who knows? All right, now we're getting back to plot two, as both Heather and Wesley are sitting on the couch. Both of them have legal pads, and they're writing about why they feel they should be chosen to go to England with Mr. Belvedere. And Wesley keeps kind of hovering over Heather's shoulder and kind of looking at what she's writing. And she's like, Wesley, keep your eyes on your own paper. Hey, do you remember, Wesley's wearing a long sleeve shirt, the kind that I think was popular back in the mid 80s that had like a big buttoned pocket on the front of it. It's like, you could put so much stuff in there. It's like a fanny pack on your shirt. Unless it's the kind that's like, there is no pocket there. It's just for, like, you know, looks or something. I want to play this clip. Wesley is the grossest little goober doing the gross out move with the eyes rolled back in the head. And the blah, 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 blah. I'm happy I didn't have a little brother. That would annoy me like that. I don't think I was like Wesley as a kid. No, I wasn't. I wasn't like that to my older sister.
Wesley, keep your eyes on your own paper. Okay. Wesley, you're too close to go to England.
Hello, children.
Hey, Mr. Belvedere, I finished writing my essay.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi, Kevin, you're just in time. We're going to read the essays.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Thank you. Now, let me see. Heather writes, I want to go to England because there is no finer place for a young lady to learn the social graces, proper deportment, and all that other good cultural stuff, which I believe will be a great asset to me as I enter womanhood. Very nice.
Thanks.
Now, Wesley writes, I want to go to England because no other country has experienced such a rich pageant of history. From the Romans to the Norman invasion to the Battle of Britain, the people have endured and prospered. It would be an honor for me to visit this precious stone set in the Silver Sea, this blessed plot, this earth, this realms, this England. Very stirring. And finally, Kevin writes, I want to go to England because there's going to be a big party and I might get lucky. I think we have a winner.
What? Kim?
Mm-hmm. At this time, I'm rewarding honesty.
He never told us that.
Sure.
Hey, guys.
I love how Heather says, Wesley, you're too gross to go to England. Belvedere decides, you know what, all right, kids, time's up, I'm gonna read your essays, and Heather and Wesley's are both just, they're spouting off some stuff that, it's just trying to make themselves come off as high and, not high and mighty, but just totally fake and everything, and then, of course, because they both did theirs on legal pads, And Kevin's like, oh, here, let me pull my crumpled piece of paper out of my pocket that I wrote mine on. And basically he says, I want to go to England because I hear there's going to be a party and I might get lucky. So Belvedere's like, you know what? All right, we got a winner. And Heather and Wes are like, wait, what? And he's like, well, I'm awarding honesty. And they're like, well, you didn't say that. It's like, you know what? He didn't have to. Why don't you give a real reason as to why you want to go to England and not some falsified? That sounds plagiarized from what Wesley put. I don't even think he came up with those words. He got that out of a magazine or a book or an encyclopedia. And so, of course, Kevin's kind of going towards the stairs and Heather's kind of trailing him, probably like, and I'm like, I can't believe you get to go to England. So Marcia comes home and she's like, oh, is the doctor called yet? And apparently not yet. And she's like, well, he should have called by now. It's like, you know what? You're waiting for a diagnosis to find out whether or not you're pregnant. Someone else's diagnosis could be a lot more life-threatening and serious, and they probably need to hear first. So hold your panties. He'll get to you when he gets to you. All right, well, yeah, we're going to get to the meat of this frustration of Marcia. Like, I need to know, am I pregnant? Am I not pregnant? Wesley, of course, is like, oh, I bet you're going to have triplets. I bet you're going to have sextuplets. I bet you're going to have octopuslets. And that's why he doesn't want to call you, because he wants to let the paper know first. Well, she's not taking fertility drugs, and she's not going to have sextuplets. She's not Octomom. So, Belvedere kind of, you know, tells Wes, like, all right, we need something to do. All right, just go upstairs. Don't you have something to do? And Wesley's like, well, I was going to go to England. It's like, no, you weren't. Go upstairs. So now George comes downstairs, and yeah, Marcia is really irritated. And she's gonna finally let some words fly.
Hey, guys.
Hello, Miss Ahrens.
Doctor called yet?
I'm afraid not.
Should have called by now. Hey, Mom. Maybe you're gonna have triplets. Or sextuplets. Or even octopuslets. And he wants to call the paper first.
Wesley, don't you have something to do?
I was gonna go to England.
Well, let's go upstairs instead. Hi, honey. How do you feel?
You mean, do I feel pregnant? I don't know how I feel.
Hey, look, even if you do have a baby, it's no big deal. I mean, we got Belvedere. You'll still be able to finish law school and everything.
Oh, sure I will.
Yeah, sure you will.
No, I won't. I know how I am. I'll stay home with the baby and be a good mother, and everything I want will get pushed back another 10 years.
Hey, come on, Marsh, don't start with that.
I can't believe it. It's exactly like last time. Everything was all set. Kevin and Heather were old enough. They were both in school. It was finally going to be my turn. Then Wesley comes along and screws up everything.
Hey, Wes.
Oh, hi, honey.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, what do you got there, champ?
Oh, it's for my science project. I'm going to go out and catch some fireflies, see if they'll mate in captivity.
What are you going to do, drop them off at a roach motel?
Thank you, doctor. Thank you very much.
Good news?
I'm not pregnant. I'm sorry, honey. It looks like you won't be getting a little brother or sister.
Well, that's okay, Mom. At least you won't have another kid to screw up your life like I did.
So Marsh is sulking on the couch, and George is like, you know what, so what if you're pregnant? It's not a big deal. You'll finish law school. You know, and she's like, no, I won't. It's like, how many years do you have left? It's season 3. I know season 1 was only 7 episodes, but it's been like, what, a year or so maybe since Belvedere's been there? How many years does it take to be a lawyer? Seriously. 4 years, probably at least 4 years, I guess. Ugh. So then she's kind of like, no, I won't. I know how I am. I'll stay home with a baby and my dreams will get pushed back another 10 years. Because she's like, it's just started just like last time. Heather and Kevin were in school. And then all of a sudden I got, you know, Wesley dropped into my lap and everything. And then she says, Wesley I got pregnant with Wesley, and he ruined my life. He just, ugh. And he just happens to be on the stairs hearing that. Yeah. And of course, George sees that right away, and he kind of tries to take action, like, oh, hey, buddy, what are you doing? I see you have a mason jar there. And Wesley's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go catch some fireflies, you know, see if they mate in captivity. They'll die in that mason jar. I think probably even if you poke holes in it, I don't know how long they last. Probably not a very long time. I doubt they're going to be concerned with trying to mate with each other because they're going to be too concerned about trying to breathe. So the phone does ring. It's the doctor. I don't even know what time it is, but he must keep late hours. He says, nope, you're not pregnant. He says, oh, I'm not pregnant. Thank you, Lord. And Belvedere's down there, and he's kind of like saying a prayer to God, like, thank you, thank you. And then she looks at Wesley, because as soon as she said, Wesley ruined my life, she saw him on the stairs. But then she didn't really think, she was too preoccupied and everything. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, honey. Looks like you won't have a little brother or sister. Not, I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry you heard me say that you ruined my life when I got pregnant with you. But Wesley, pretty much, he's on the ball with it. He's like, well, good thing you're not pregnant, so this child won't ruin your life like apparently I did. And then he kind of walks out the door, and she's kind of looking at, like, what? It's like, yeah, he's just repeating the words that you said. Yeah. Here's the thing. You're gonna say stuff like that. You're gonna vent. Great. Do it in your bedroom behind a closed door where people, especially the person you're complaining about, isn't gonna hear you. Especially your son. You don't think that's not gonna rip his soul apart and break his heart to hear that his mom didn't want him and he was an accident? Yeah, I wouldn't want to hear that either. And the fact that she doesn't apologize right away. And it's gonna get even worse now because, you know, she's going to try to talk to him and everything, and it's not going to be good. It's like, I don't know how you can fix this, because you don't say that to a child. You don't tell them that they were unwanted, that you didn't want them. You definitely don't say that they ruined your life. And, you know, I'm just thinking about it. You know, I mean, there are plenty of women, even single mothers out there, I'm sure that can go out there and go to school and get a degree and still be able to be a parent and everything. And I mean, maybe they have to pay for daycare or whatever, but think about it. Marcia's got a husband. She's got Belvedere. I wouldn't want to throw that onto him completely, but he could be there to help a smidge. I'd want to raise and pay, but Heather and Kevin, they could chip in too, help out. There's no reason that that child would ruin your chances of being a lawyer. But she was just saying, I know how I am. I'll be completely wrapped up in this child and everything. And the whole time you're going to be resenting that kid. Like she apparently does Wesley. But anyway, let's move on to the next scene where she goes and has a conversation with Wesley. I think she does kind of say, I'm sorry you had to hear that. I was just angry.
Looks like you're doing pretty good.
It's easy. Fireflies are stupid, even for bugs.
Look, honey, I'm sorry about what you heard in there.
You're sorry I heard?
No, I mean, I'm sorry I said it. I was upset, and sometimes when we're upset, we say things we don't mean.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that fight you had last week with Howie Huffnagel? And you said that you hated him and you never wanted to see him again. You didn't really mean that, did you?
Yeah.
Look, honey, maybe when you came along, you did sort of catch Mommy by surprise. But I love you very, very much, and I always have.
So you mean you were never, ever unhappy that I was born?
Not for one single second.
Mm-hmm.
So Marcia comes out. She tries to break the ice with Wesley. Like, oh, looks like you're doing a good job with those fireflies in that mason jar. And he's like, oh, yeah, it's easy. Bugs are stupid. And he is not even looking at her, which is understandable because he's very hurt and angry. And there's nothing that she's going to be able to say that's going to make it any better. So she does kind of start off like, I'm sorry about what you heard in there. And he's like, oh, you're sorry I heard that? And she's like, well, no, actually, I'm sorry that I said it. It's like, yeah, now you're sorry. Why didn't you say that when you got off the phone? Instead of, I'm sorry you're not going to have a little brother or sister. The first words out of your mouth should have said, Wesley, I'm sorry I said that. I didn't mean it. I was angry. Instead, now she's got to offer this crap apology to him, which he's not going to believe anyway. And the fact that she compares it to, remember last week when you got angry at Howie Huffnagel, your friend from next door, and you shouted at him, you said you hate him, you never want to see him again? It's like, that's not a mother telling you that she didn't want you and that you ruined her life. That is not even remotely the same thing. Try again, Marcia. In her defense, she's saying, oh, I'm sorry, I'm upset. Sometimes when we're upset, we say things we don't mean. There's a difference between saying something you don't mean and having something be built up for so long that there is clearly resentment there. The way that she's like, it's just like last time with Wesley. So she's obviously, these feelings that she was having was all this pent up, frustration and resentment of having to put her life on hold for her son. So, and I think it was fair that she probably thought before that doctor called that she could have been pregnant. So, yeah. And he says, so are you sorry that you had me? And she's like, well, no, it's like, hold on, I'm sorry. So she kind of says, like, you know, when you came along, I wasn't expecting you. You weren't planned, but that doesn't mean that I didn't love you. She's going to kind of, when she's telling him later in the episode, in this episode, about the fact that it took time to get used to having you in my life and what you meant and everything, which, whatever, but, yeah, she pretty much just tries to explain away why she said what she said, and she goes inside, and he's like, liar, it's like, you didn't mean a dang word. It's like she was trying to save face for herself and what she said. She's basically trying to cover her ass. Well, you know what, he didn't buy that. I mean, you could hear in that clip, those were heated words. And you don't get that worked up about something, say something, unless there is some truth to it. I mean, we all get angry and we say stuff and everything in the heat of the moment, but that was pure pent-up resentment. So now George is going to try to make some amends with Wes. He's got some cookies, like, hey, I got your cookies. The whole thing about what your mom said, she didn't mean it. And the way that Wesley, he's on the top bunk, and he's got those covers all the way up to his chin. He's clearly hiding something. He's fully dressed. And he's like, your mom didn't mean it. So I want to play this clip. I love how Wesley says, I also said my prayers and everything. Like, you don't go to church.
All tucked in, champ?
Yep. I said my prayers and everything.
I snuck you up some cookies.
Those are Mr. Belvedere's.
I know. I swiped him out of his underwear drawer.
Thanks, but I'm not hungry. I just want to go to sleep.
That's okay, pal. I'm not going to keep you up. I just wanted to make sure you're okay.
I'm okay.
Good. Because your mom really loves you. It's just she's under a lot of pressure with school, and we got to do everything we can to make things easier on her.
Don't worry. I'll do my part.
Atta boy. Good night, buddy.
Bye.
George is just saying, like, your mom was just stressed with school. That's why she got, irritated and said what she said. You know, we got to support her and this and that. and help her out. And Wes is like, oh, don't worry, I'm doing my part. And then he's going to run away. It's like, don't make excuses for what she said. Don't blame it on, oh, she's stressed with school. Well, so what? So are a lot of people. That's not an excuse to say what she said. I'm going to stop ranting on this for now, because I'm sure you guys are like, I don't care. Move on with the story. So, Belvedere's calling up to Kevin. Like, hey, Kevin, it's almost 6. We got to get on the road. We got to catch our flight to England. I wonder if they're going to... They're not going to fly first class. They're not going to fly first class. Unless the tickets probably have been purchased by the Queen or somebody of the royal family or somebody from England, and they are going first class. Because a trip like that, you got to go first class. That is a long trip. No one wants to sit 16 hours or more in a seat that you're sitting in. I would rather be laying down and getting some sleep. I'm not going to sleep sitting in a chair. So Kevin, he comes out, he's still in his pajamas and his robe. It's like, you're not even dressed. We gotta go, man. You're probably not even packed. Kevin, you're not taking this seriously. He's like, oh, I thought I'd sleep on the plane. Well, you're not going to get on the plane in your robe and pajamas. Get dressed, get your butt ready. Belvedere, she's going to leave you there. He's going to take one of the other kids. This has got to be, like, early in the morning. Oh, Heather's already dressed. You know what? You can take her. She can be your plus one. So Belvedere's kind of asking Heather where Wes is. And she's like, I don't know. He's probably still in bed. And Belvedere's like, well, if he wants to go to the airport, then he needs to get his little fanny in gear. And now George is coming down the steps. So Marcia kind of comes through the kitchen into the living room. She's got a brown paper sack, like, hey, I know how you feel about the airline food. I made you a little something something here. And I'm sure he probably looks at it like, I'd rather take my chances with the airline food. Of course Belvedere opens it, and George kind of looks down at it, and she's like, and Belvedere's like, well, I feel a little differently now. Like, I'm not going to take that. You take it. Here, Kevin, you have it. Since you're going to make me late. All right, I'm going to play this clip as Heather comes running down the stairs. She's like, oh my gosh, Wesley's not here. And she's got the letter that he left.
Kevin, it's almost 6. Let's get cracking.
Morning.
Kevin, you're still in pajamas.
Hey, I figured I'd sleep on the plane.
Let's get ready.
Hey, Mr. Belvedere.
Where's Wesley?
I don't know. I guess he's still in bed.
Well, tell him if he wants to go to the airport, he better get up now.
Morning, your big deal, this. So, everybody ready to go?
I am.
Here, Mr. Belvedere, I made you a little something for the plane. I know how you feel about airline food.
I feel differently now.
Wesley's gone!
What?
He left us note for Mr. Belvedere, but I read it anyway.
Dear Mr. Belvedere, by the time you read this, I'll probably be halfway to Atlantic City. I don't want to be where I'm not wanted, and I don't want Mom to have to go on pretending that she likes me. I guess it's good that this finally came out. At least now I'll have time to start a new life for myself in the casino business. Anyway, it's been nice knowing you, and tell everybody goodbye and tell Mom no hard feelings.
Okay, I'm ready to hit the road.
I think we all are.
So Wesley wrote the note for Mr. Belvedere, and Heather brings him down to the family. And Wesley basically says, I don't want to be anywhere. I'm not wanted. And tell Mom that no hard feelings. So I'm not going to make her life a living hell like apparently I have been doing. And he says he's going to go to Atlantic City and work at a casino. Okay. They're not even going to let you in the door, guy. They're not going to let you in the door. Maybe the game room if they got one, but... Yeah, good luck there. So he's at a bus station that's got graffiti all over the... I think those are lockers. It's just a run-down, run-of-the-mill, run-down, gross, nasty train station place that's apparently got, like... It's not even a food court. There's, like, one little baby-sized diner. So, Wesley makes his way over to the ticket counter. He's like, hey, I need a one-way ticket to Atlantic City. And the guy's like, all right, it'll be $27.50. He's like, oh, that much? Did Wesley even bring any money with him? Does he even have any money? He might. So, He's like, oh man, that much? I'm a little short. As he kind of puts his hand up to his head, like, as in, I'm short. He's like, I can even sit on some old lady's lap. I don't take up a lot of space. And they like that kind of thing. You're 9 years old, buddy, or 10 years old. I don't think an old lady wants a 9 or 10 year old boy sitting on her lap. Maybe if you were like 2, even then, no. The guy pretty much just waves on, like, please get the hell out of my face. You're bugging me, and we're busy, even though we're not busy at all. So I want to play this clip as he talks to the guy there, and then he kind of makes his way over to the little diner.
Excuse me, I'd like to buy a one-way ticket to Atlantic City, please.
Okay, kid, that'll be $27.50.
That much? I'm afraid I'm a little short.
Look, kid,
come on, can't you give me a discount? I don't take up much room. I'll even sit on some lady's lap. They go for that.
Get out of here.
Hey, that's my seat.
Oh, sorry.
That's my seat, too. Don't even think about that one.
Hi, Coco, and don't be stingy with the marshmallows.
Coming right up. Looks like you had a rough night, huh?
I've had worse.
Traveling alone?
Yeah, so what if I am?
So nothing. You want something else?
Yeah. How about a job?
What?
It'll only be temporary, though. I'm working my way to Atlantic City. I want to be a pit boss trainee.
Really?
I'm going to get a hotel room on Baltic Avenue. I hear the rent's still pretty cheap.
Look, kid, believe it or not, I'm kind of busy. So why don't you just call your mom or something? I'm sure she's real worried.
Yeah, sure. Look, I'll work real hard, and I promise I won't eat much.
Look, kid.
I'll split my tips with you.
Yeah, that's tempting, but sorry.
Fine, if you don't give me a job, maybe some other stranger will.
Oh, hold it. All right, come here. Put on the apron and then start cleaning up, okay?
Thanks, you won't regret it.
You're kind of cute, you know that?
Don't get hooked on me, lady. I'm bad news.
So Wesley goes to sit down, and this dang Hope, dirty, weird guy, is like, that's my seat! And Wesley's like, oh, here, I'll move, like, 2 seats on. That's my seat, too! And then Wesley goes to sit, like, at the set of chairs across from that row. And the guy's like, don't even think about it! Before Wesley even plants his ass anywhere near the other set of chairs. It's like, call security. There's no security there. That place is, like, deserted. So Wesley makes his way over to this little diner there, and he asks for a hot chocolate. And the lady is the sweetest lady in the world. And I notice her name tag says Darlene. That's my mom's name. Was my mom's name. So, and he wants a hot chocolate, says, don't be stingy on the marshmallows. And for a split second, I got a craving for hot chocolate and marshmallows and maybe some whipped cream. And so the kid, I'm sorry, Wes. Wesley notices the help wanted sign behind the menu, and he pulls it out like, hey, how about a job? Well, he pulls the help wanted sign and like, hey, how about this job here? Can I help you out or something like that? Because he's making his way to Atlantic City. He's like, I'm not going to be here long. I just need to work enough to earn my way to Atlantic City. He says he's going to be a pit boss. And the lady, she kind of laughs a little in his face. Not really, but she's like, you know what? Your mom is probably worried. Why don't you go home? Because he says, then he's like, you know what, don't worry, I'll go and find some other adult who will help me find a job or give me a job. It's like, immediately, she's like, come back here. She pulls an apron out from underneath the table and says, here you go. And he comes behind the counter and she puts the apron around his neck and then, of course, you know, loops it up behind his back. And she kind of, like, bends over his shoulder like, oh, you know what, you're kind of cute. And I love Wesley saying, Don't get hooked on me, lady. It's like, oh, she can't resist that little boy's charm. He's a sweetheart. So immediately when he said that, you know, he was going to go try to find some other adult, it was like, she immediately snapped into parent mode. Like, buddy, you are not going anywhere, okay? It's like, she could see he needed protection. There was no one else there. So, yeah, he's just busting some tables and... This poor lady, like, you were a very nice host, very nice waiter, and I think she gives him like a quarter or something. So here's this clip.
That was excellent service, young man. Just doing my job. This is for you.
Oh, a quarter. Thank you, ma'am.
Maybe I'll go over to the IRA.
Excuse me. I said, have a nice day.
Cheapskate. Not a big tipper, hey, kiddo?
I've been working almost 2 hours and all I made is 57 cents.
Yeah, and half of it belongs to me. Ah, forget it.
Thanks. Boy, I'm never gonna get to Atlantic City.
Big deal. It's just Altoona with an ocean. I made you a cheeseburger.
Thanks. I never met anyone who could make greasy food as good as you do.
You're just saying that.
No, I mean it. I think your kids are real lucky.
I don't have any kids.
I guess you didn't have time. What was your career and all?
Yeah, something like that.
Kind of like my mom. She wants to be a lawyer, and she could have been a long time ago, except I came along and ruined her life.
I don't think you could ruin anybody's life.
So... you still think I should call her? Just to let her know I'm okay?
Not right now. You ready for pie?
So Wesley's only been there for 2 hours. He made 57 cents, half of which that one lady gave him. She gave him a quarter. Like, right. So, yeah, not so much in the way of tips, but what you gonna do? And I like how, the waitress says, yeah, and half of that's mine. But she's like, ah, forget it. So she actually did make him a burger and fries. And like, wow, you make the best greasy food. This is so good. And as he's eating it and everything like that, he's like, yeah, I bet your kids must miss you or something like that, you know, with your career and all. And she's like, I don't really have any kids. And then he kind of opens up to her about, you know, yeah, my mom could have been a lawyer, but, you know, I came along and kind of ruined that whole thing, ruined her life. And she just looks at Wes like, you know what, buddy, I don't think you could ruin anybody's life. She's just falling in love with this little boy. I'm sure she'd be like, you know, if your mom don't want you, I will gladly adopt you. So he's eating the burger. It's a big, large bun. And she's like, are you ready for pie? And I'm like, whoa, he's just eating the burger, give him a second. Not to mention he's a small kid. I think that burger and fries would fill him up. So now Belvedere and Kevin come into the train depot there, or bus depot, or whatever you want to call it. So Kevin's getting stressed, like, hey, Mr. Belvedere, we're never going to make our flight. Because Belvedere says, all right, you check the restrooms, I'm going to check over here. And Belvedere kind of looks at Kevin's like, I can't believe you, Kevin. Your brother is missing right now. And all you're thinking about is going to England. Before Kevin kind of hangs his head in shame. And before he can take off and look for Wes, Belvedere's like, well, why don't you call and book us a later flight? So Marcia comes in the door and says he's not on the bus. And then Belvedere's like, but they said that he bought a ticket to Altoona. That guy did not sell him a ticket. He didn't have $27.50 or $27 since he's got 57 cents. So it'll probably be like, what, $26.93? Well, Wesley comes out of the employee-only entrance with a stack of cups that he's got kind of tucked under his chin, asking, you know, where do you want these? And she's like, ah, just put them, you know, up there. I'll be out in a sec. So Belvedere kind of hears Wesley and sees him right there. So I want to play this clip.
Where do you want them?
Oh, just put him over there, honey. I'll be back in a minute.
Sure.
A waffle, please, and heavy on the grass and mud.
No.
Leslie, what a delightful surprise.
Why aren't you in England?
Why aren't you in bed?
I don't care what you say, what you do, I'm never coming home.
Can I have that in writing?
Wes. Would you like to see a menu, ma'am?
Honey, you had us worried sick.
Sure.
Honey, don't you know how much Mommy loves you? How much I've always loved you and always wanted you.
Excuse me, I have a customer.
I just don't know what else to tell him.
Perhaps you should try the truth.
So Belvedere sits down at the counter, and Wesley said, "Groom, you phoned me. What are you doing here? Aren't you supposed to be in England?" He's like, aren't you supposed to be in bed? So Wesley basically tells Belvedere, he's like, "I am not coming back home, so don't even try to get me." He's like, "Oh, can I have that in writing?" As Wesley's kind of buffing a table, he kind of, like, rolls his eyes at Belvedere, like, "I know what you're doing there." So that's when Marcia kind of comes over and kind of puts her arms around Wes. And Wes is like a statue. And he's really, like, really cold. Like, "Oh, would you like to see a menu, ma'am?" Like, he's not even, like, don't even, like, no. Let me see that weird guy in the hat and the trench coat. I think he's a pervert or something. And she's like, "Honey, you had us worried sick." And he's like, "Yeah, sure, whatever. I'm gonna believe that." This guy is, like, trying to, like, squeeze, like, alongside this row of lockers and kind of watching her tell Wesley how much, you know, she loves him and was worried and everything. Like, go away, you weird, weird man. What if it's a cop, like, undercover or something? That's my guess. Unless he really is a weirdo, a pervert or something. I don't know. And she's just telling Wesley, like, "I always loved you and I always wanted you." Well, you know what? You're going to have to do a little better than that, because he's not believing a word. He's not even looking at her. It's like your words are, like, just hitting a wall that he's put up. You're going to have to do better than that if you want to gain his respect and love back. So Wesley kind of breaks her hold of him and says, "You know, excuse me, I have a customer." And he walks away. And she's just looking at Belvedere helplessly. She's like, "I don't know what else to say to him." And Belvedere just tells her point blank. It's like, "How about trying the truth and being honest with him? Because this, I always wanted you, I always loved you stuff is not going to sink in with him when he heard you pretty much say the truth." So.
"I think I'd like to order now."
"What'll be, ma'am?"
"Honey, you know how I said before how much I love you."
"Hey, I don't want to hear any more of that how much you love me stuff, okay?"
"Can I just say one more thing? I didn't really want you, and I was unhappy when you were born."
"I think I liked the other stuff better."
"Wes, you know how much you've always wanted a dog?"
"Yeah."
"Well, that's how much I've always wanted to be a lawyer."
"Really?"
"So when I found out I was going to have a baby, it made me feel real unhappy and sort of mad at you, even though it wasn't your fault."
"Oh. I guess that's why it took so long for me to come out. I was afraid you were going to hit me."
"Actually, it was your father I wanted to hit."
"So anyway, how long did it take before you could stand to look at me?"
"Not very long. I tried to stay mad at you, I really did. But when I finally got to know you, well, there's something about you that's pretty irresistible."
"Well, that's the first thing you've said that makes sense."
"I love you, Wesley."
"Me too."
So she tells him, like, "All right, I'm ready to order." And as soon as he comes over, she's like, "You know, I always wanted you and always loved you." He's like, don't start with that again. Please don't start with that again. So she does decide to tell him the truth. It's like, wow, she lays it all on the all out on the line. Like, "You know, I didn't really want you. And I was really unhappy when you were born." And he's like, "Oh, I think I like the other stuff you said better." But buddy, she's telling you the truth and how she felt. And she even says, you know how much you want a dog? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, well, that's how I feel about becoming a lawyer. He's like, oh, wow. So she said, when I found out I was going to have a baby, it made me really unhappy and kind of mad at you, even though it wasn't your fault. And she's like, well, yeah, I really wanted to hit your dad because he put me in the situation. No, I didn't. And he's like, well, how long before you stopped hating me? And she says, it took a bit for me to kind of get used to you. But then it's just like, something about you that I just couldn't resist. You're just something about him. Yeah. Which is, true, that the waitress over there thinks he's a sweetheart. And I'm sure she would like step over Marcia in a minute and just adopt him. And she does say she loves him and they hug and it's all better now. She's like, there's something about you. It's just, it's irresistible. And he's like, well, yeah, that's the first thing you said that kind of made sense. So she's like, all right, come on, guy, let's go home. He's like, oh, hold on a second. I got to quit my job here. So I'm going to play this clip. This is kind of, he's cute and sad. She really liked him. Like, if you wouldn't have kept him, I would have kept him here.
Just a second. That's my mom.
Yeah, I sort of figured.
Sorry, but I gotta quit now.
Oh, that's okay. I would have appreciated a couple of weeks' notice or even a couple of years.
I told you not to get hooked on me.
Take care of me, okay? I will.
The cops haven't seen him.
Wesley, you little creepo.
Hey, champ.
Okay, we're in business. I got us a flat in Harrisburg. Oh, hey, Wes. That'll get us to Philadelphia just in time to catch a shuttle to Washington. Then we hop a nonstop 747 straight to Amsterdam.
Kevin, I thought we were going to London.
Yeah, we are. I got us a flight out of Rotterdam. We have to take the bus to there.
I think I'll just stay here.
No, come on. We can make it.
So he kind of tells, the waitress, like, I'm sorry, that's my mom over there. And she's like, oh, I kind of figured that was your mom. And he's like, well, I got to quit my job. I'm sorry. So he takes the paper hat off. And she's like, well, I would have appreciated a couple weeks or a couple years. And she just kind of like wraps her arms around him from behind. And just kind of, I don't know if she kisses the side of his face. But it's just like, oh, I'm going to miss you, guy. I'm going to miss you. And I love what he says. Like, I told you not to get hooked on me. Like, aww. And then we see George and Heather come through the door like, the police haven't seen him. We don't know where he is. And then Heather's like, oh, Wes, you little creep. But she says it lovingly and puts her arms around him in a hug. Like, aww. So they all decide to go home. Of course, Kevin is still preoccupied with, trying to get to England. Saying, oh, we gotta go to Harrisburg and get to Pennsylvania. From there, we're gonna go, to Amsterdam and everything like that. And it's just like, Belmere's like, you know what? I thought we were going to England. And Kevin's like, oh, yeah, we're gonna. We're just gonna go from Amsterdam, take a bus and all that. And Belmere's like, you know what? I'm just gonna stay home.
Here's the rest of the dirty dishes.
Thank you.
Sorry, if it wasn't for me, you'd be getting your medal right now.
That's all right, Wesley. Who needs royalty when you've got baked on grease?
I still say we could have made it to Harrisburg if that guy driving in front of us wasn't going so slow.
You mean the state trooper?
Hello? Yeah, he's here. He's doing the dishes. Look, don't get mad at him, because it really wasn't his fault. It was mine.
Who's on the phone, Wesley?
Queen Elizabeth. She wants to know where you are. Hold on, Liz. He's coming.
Your Majesty.
Well, it's after dinner back at the Owens house, and Kevin and Wes are bringing in the dishes and everything like that, and Wesley's like, you know what, I'm really sorry. If it weren't for me, you'd be getting your medal right now. And Belvedere's like, it's not a big deal, don't worry about it. And of course, Kevin's like, you know, we still could have made it if it hadn't have been for that slow person. And Belvedere's like, oh, you mean the state trooper that was in front of us? So the phone rings, Wesley picks it up. Of course, it's Queen Elizabeth, kind of wondering where Belvedere is. And Belvedere picks it up, and you hear shouting from the other end, like, why aren't you here? And Belvedere's, like, got the phone, like, 5 inches away from his face, or his ear, like, yeah. So Belvedere is writing in his journal, and he says he pretty much got the medal in the mail. Which, yeah, I'm sure there's a time he could go back to England sometime. All right, let's hear what he has to say.
Today I received my medal. The ceremony wasn't quite as regal as I had envisioned. The mailman handed it to me along with the gas bill and TV guide. Regardless, I am honored. Of course, I mustn't let this go to my head. It's not as if I've been knighted. Not yet.
Okay, so he hasn't been knighted yet. Gotcha. All right, so he wouldn't have that title of sir yet. All right, so as far as the teacup rating, what am I going to give this one? I'm going to give this one a 3 out of 5. The couple things I didn't like that weird pervid man in the trench coat and hat. He was a weirdo. I didn't really care for, you know, Marcia saying what she said was one thing, but the fact that she kept using poor examples to explain away her actions, I didn't care for that. What I did like, I loved how being the kids were arguing about being, you know, who was going to be Belvedere's plus one to England, the way that he decided to settle it was a really cool way to have the kids kind of write an essay about why they should be picked to go. That was pretty cool. I also loved the lady at the diner. Loved her. She was a sweetheart. I feel bad she didn't have any kids, and Wesley was kind of almost like a surrogate in a way. And the last one, I loved that Marcia was finally honest with Wesley about what she felt when he was born to really get through to him. Instead of trying to mask over it by saying, I love you and I've always loved you. You gotta know. It's like, no, he doesn't want to hear that. He wants to hear what you actually felt. He wants honesty. So, all right. As far as for Belvedere Biscuit Bites, let's say this. If you got stuff to say about someone that, especially stuff like that, like what Marcia was saying, don't say it within hearing distance of that person. You got to say that stuff, go upstairs, shut the door. You don't do it in the middle of the living room where anybody could come, and especially a person that you're saying it about. And you don't ever say that a child ruined your life. That is so sad. But whatever. Alright, well, since we're done with Marcia, next week we're going to have Kevin and Heather's episodes. First up is going to be Heather in Season 3, Episode 1, entitled The Thief, which aired on September 26th, 1986. This was the season 3 opener. When Heather gets a job at a local record store, her new boyfriend uses it as an opportunity to get a 5-finger discount. I don't think that guy's her boyfriend. Do not think he's her boyfriend. All right. And the next episode, season 3, episode 18, entitled Kevin's Older Woman. While delivering food for work, Kevin meets an older woman and, to the chagrin of his parents, begins dating her. Well, he not only does that, but he ends up losing his V-card to her also. So, yep. All right. Well, that being said, everyone have a wonderful Friday, what's left of Friday, Saturday evening, what's left of it, and Sunday, Have a good Sunday. All right. Bye-bye, everybody.